So the Syrian civil war is poised to become a multinational conflict.
Although we won't see World War III if Iran can keep its nuclear program in its pants.
And you would think President Bashar al-Assad might be slightly concerned at the moment?
You know, after the death of 1,400 citizens in the suburbs of Damascus, over 2 million refugees flooding out of his country, and President Obama insisting on pointing cruise missiles at Syrian army strongholds.
But for Assad, just a day in the life when you're battling over 13 rebel groups who want your head on a plate, and you're using sarin gas on your own citizens.
In fact, the Assad family is conducting business as usual. Assad welcomed a Yemeni delegation to the country last week. According to the New York Times, he hosted them in the presidential palace, miraculously unshelled, and made cutting remarks about the situation in Egypt.
Also according to the Times, when one of the Yemeni delegates called deposed Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi a donkey, Assad said that was an insult to the animal.
Right, because Assad's doing so much better at the whole ruthless dictator thing.
Well, he is still in power, but it seems like he's doing everything he can to enrage his subjects.
The Assad Instagram feed is a riot.
Yup. Asma, Assad's wife, has been serving up a beautiful public relations campaign. I mean, hey, if your people are involved in a vicious civil war, at least you're helping out in soup kitchens. Her Louboutins are metaphorically stepping on the civilian lives lost to her husband's chemical weapons, but at least Vogue is impressed with her fashion choices. And yes, Vogue did in fact write an article about her in 2011 titled A Rose in the Desert.
Oof. Great title, better timing.
One particularly uncomfortable photo emphasizes her new $129 jawbone bracelet, which counts her calories and her sleep cycles for her. People are dying from chemical weaponry, but Asma al-Assad will never have to worry about a poor night's sleep.
34% of the Syrian population lives under the poverty line, and she's dieting. Dieting!
What else do you expect from a woman who sidestepped international sanctions to buy designer clothes and shoes?
Well, in other dictator-related news, Kim Jong-un, filibustered's favorite autocrat, is preparing to receive a representative of the United States.
And it's not Robert King, the actual U.S. ambassador for North Korean human rights issues.
It's NBA player Dennis Rodman. Again.
You know, the guy who loves referring to Kim Jong-un as my friend for life and going on basketball diplomacy tours.
Rodman insists he's on first-name terms with Kim Jong-un, saying in a May 7th tweet that he calls him Kim. Too bad Kim's not his first name. In Korea, the family name comes first.
He also said in the same tweet that he's going to ask Kim to, quote, do him a solid and cut Kenneth Bae loose. Bae is the American human rights activist and missionary who's been held in North Korea in a special prison since November 2012.
But apparently this trip isn't actually about Bae at all. During a Sports Illustrated interview in July, Rodman changed his position on using his bromance with Kim Jong-un as a political tool. Because, as Rodman puts it, quote, keeping us safe is really not my job. It's the black guy's job.
The black guy? You mean the President of the United States, maybe? I'd normally expect that kind of comment from Donald Trump.
Rodman would rather talk about basketball with his BFF, maybe since it's unclear what, if anything, he could actually do for Bae.
But Rodman thinks he's got pretty impressive political sway anyway. He told HuffPost Live, quote, if I actually got him loose, and I'm just saying this out of the blue, I'd be the most powerful guy in the world.
Actually, that would be the black guy.
Meanwhile, back in Egypt, Adli Mansour, the current interim president chosen by the Egyptian army, says that the country is, quote, moving toward democracy.
Did I miss something here? Last time I checked, there were hundreds of political detainees imprisoned by the Egyptian army, solely for belonging to the Muslim Brotherhood.
And the protest crackdowns don't really help his case either. 221 people were injured, and 8 people died at last Friday's protest alone.
Even better, Mansour says that he wants to help put Syria on the path to democracy as well.
Is that the same democratic path that Egypt's on right now?
I mean, no one's trying to claim that the path to democracy is quick or simple, but it normally doesn't involve deaths and ideological detainment.
But explosions are always my favorite first step towards institutionalized democratic reform.
Finally, in a just end to the sort of news that made us want to punch a wall, Staff Sergeant Robert Bales has finally been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of 16 Afghan civilians in March 2012, a killing spree now known as the Kandahar Massacre.
Yes, we can all breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that the perpetrator of one of the worst American war crimes in recent memory is being duly punished.
But Sarah, his lawyers did such a good job defending the fact that he brutally beat women and children, gunned them down with his machine gun on burst, and set several of their bodies on fire.
Oh, right. However, did they manage to explain away that point of contention?
Well, he was a loving father. And, they said, great with kids.
A stand-up friend, too.
However was he convicted with a justification like that? That definitely explains away the 9 witness testimonies, or the 7-year-old girl that he injured so badly she had to be taught how to talk again.
We'll never really know why he would do something this awful, since he offered us no explanation. But Bales has been dishonorably discharged and sentenced to life without parole.
Well, it's a shame we're out of time. I have a list of rage-inducing summer news longer than Asma al-Assad's bank statement.
Sounds about right. For Filibusted, I'm Sarah Morrell.
And I'm Caroline Batten. It's been a pleasure. At least for us.